This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You.
That's me.
Christian and a big Caps fan.
And Grant. We're on
Grant
TV.
Paulson.
We're on TV again. Oh, that's not me. That's another handsome guy. Welcome back. We're at Caddies on Cordell in Bethesda. And I'm not even kidding. I just popped up on television. Oh, you know what it is? They're rotating pictures of scenes here at the bar because this is the best bar to watch a game, according to Bethesda Magazine, a couple years running. I can speak to that because I watched Alex Ovechkin break the goal-scoring record right here at Caddies on Cordell. And there was a picture of me just now here at Caddies. Now I get it.
Wow.
It wasn't just me. It was like three people, but I was like the handsomest there, if you're just judging. and I was on TV. That's what that was. There's a bunch of college football, and then I'm like, there's my stupid face. Where did that come from?
Things that don't belong.
Yeah, but now I get it. Welcome back to the program. We would like to invite our esteemed producer and left tackle for the Minnesota Vikings, Christian Darius Dameron, onto the program. Darius, how are you, first of all? Happy New Year to you, sir.
Hello, Darius.
Yes, gentlemen, Happy New Year. Doing well. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So the thing we wanted to do is play a little buy or sell. We're doing some stocks. So if you don't know, the way this works is if a stock is overvalued, if it's overhyped, you go, you know what? I probably want to sell that because I don't think it's going to get much better. If a stock is undervalued, you want to buy it because the value is going to go up, right? Everybody with me on that?
For sure.
So if you think there's more in the tank, you're buying. If you don't, you're probably selling. Maybe cut your losses, et cetera. That's how we play the game. We'll alternate who goes first and why. Darius has a list of young players here that we're going to buy and sell stock in. Darius, player of the first, please.
Let's start with the first round pick of the 2025 Washington Commanders draft class. That would be right tackle Josh Connerly. Buy your stock. Buy or sell.
Yeah, I am buying stock in Josh Connerly because it's not very expensive right now. Jay Gruden came on our show, as he does every Monday after Washington plays foosball, and basically, it wasn't being cruel or anything, but said in his evaluation, Connerly's not been particularly good this year and, you know, wasn't very bullish maybe on his outlook as a player and said, you know, he's among the worst right tackles in football at this point, et cetera, et cetera. They've been patient, and David Aldridge kind of addressed this early on. Out of the gate, he had a set of assignments, as you're going to have in this league, for a veteran right tackle, let alone a neophyte that's just learning the position. There's too much there for me not to think, how many negatives did I use right there? There's too much skill, too much athleticism, too much raw mold of clay for me not to think that guy's going to be really good one day. I don't think he is yet. I think he has gone through growing pains. I think he's been up and down. There's some false starts. There's some holds here and there. I think that happens. That's part of the position. When you're on an island, some of the best pass rushers happen to be on that side now. That's kind of the trend. But I'm buying stock that Josh Connerly is a good right tackle. Maybe not a star, but he a good right tackle in the future. I'm buying.
I'm buying stock in that as well for all the reasons that you just mentioned. I think the biggest thing that he's got to work on this offseason, get a little heavier in the britches so he can anchor versus power rushers. My big question with him is how long is he a right tackle? Are they just going to uproot him in the middle of his career when Laremy Tunsil hangs it up and go, hey, buddy, you're now the left tackle. We expect you to transition there flawlessly. Mm. If they expect him to do that, I think he'll struggle initially on the left side, just like he struggled initially on the right side. But overall, to your point, 100% buying stock.
Let's start with let's keep it on the offensive side, actually. Let's go with tight end Ben Sinnott, buy or sell.
This one's tough. You listed him as a tight end. I think he's a fullback. For that reason, I'm going to sell stock in Ben Sinnott. It's tough because I think when he was drafted, there were these high expectations that he was going to be the pass-catching tight end of the future for this organization. He's just not that. I think he'll have a long career. I think he's a tough football player. I love him as a, quote, move blocker. Their calculation at the position, though, doesn't make a whole lot of sense because maybe people are going to say I'm over-exaggerating, but I watch, so just trust my opinion, right? He's just as good of a blocker, in my opinion. Maybe not exactly the same, but as John Bates. I think there's something there with him as a blocker, yet they brought back John Bates and Zach Ertz. I didn't understand that move this offseason, but kind of selling my stock in Ben Sinnott because he just hasn't shown me anything yet.
I'm selling. And what I see looks pretty good.
Yeah.
They don't see it. The same people – now, I know this Adam Peters. The reason we had expectations for him was because Adam Peters said he's one part George Kittle, one part Kyle Juszczyk. So I was waiting for that. He's the backup blocking tight end at this point. They don't think he can do it. Otherwise, they would have had him do it. So if they don't believe it, why should I? I'm frustrated because every time that guy's got the ball in his hands, he looks explosive. He looks big, strong, fast, tough. All the things – not all the things, but some of the things you want in a tight end.
Right.
He doesn't have Zach Ertz's footwork, but who does? Ertz is a circus bear at this age, right, where he's tap dancing all over the place. He couldn't run away from me.
Yeah.
But, by God, he'll get open using footwork and route running and leverage and all sorts of smart stuff.
Would you call him a circus bear?
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, you know, dance a circus bear. Like, you know, he's balancing the ball. He's on the unicycle.
I dig it.
He can do that sort of thing, short area quickness. But, you know, he can't run away from everybody. He's a catch-and-fall guy at this point. Ertz, I mean, Sinnott doesn't have that. He's a different tight end, a different player. There's a skill set, though, for somebody that they'd go, yeah, we could use that. It doesn't seem to be in the cards for them. I've given up asking about it because there's no better opportunity than, I don't know, right now this second to feature him at least a little bit, and they won't do it, so I'm forced to sell.
Yeah.
Stuff. He a Hokie, Jalen Lane, wide receiver, buy or sell?
I'm going to reluctantly buy here. Now, as a returner, yes, I think that's bona fide. We got something.
Yeah.
As a receiver, to me, is kind of what we're talking about. I think he steps into a kind of, sort of, a almost Olamide Zaccheaus role next year. Is that worth owning?
Yeah.
It doesn't cost me very much, so that's fine. I'll buy it, but it's not something I think he's going to be featured. I think that room gets an overhaul. Well, let me rephrase. I'm begging and praying and hoping that room gets an overhaul, and he'll be, I don't want to say odd man out.
Yeah.
He'll be there because he can return kicks, and he's got some quicks, and you'll have him, you know, doing some slot stuff, short area. But to me, it's a very tepid buy.
Great minds think alike. I'm also going to, love how you put it, reluctantly buy the stock. Love him as a returner, as you mentioned. I'm baffled, though, that they did not find more ways to get him the football offensively. When you lack the speed, the team speed that Washington does on the offensive side of the ball, you find ways to get Jalen Lane the football, and they just didn't. I know there's a lot of nuance to the wide receiver position, learning inside and out. Can you block? Are you a good route runner? So on and so forth. I think he runs routes well. He doesn't catch it very well, and that's a pretty big skill that's needed for the job. I think next year, I beg, like you said, one, that they overhaul the room, but he should be your deep threat. Like, I wouldn't feel the need to go out big game hunting for a deep threat this offseason because I drafted one. Let's put our picks to the test, so to speak.
The other offensive player that remains would be the running back who joins us every Tuesday on Grant Danny Show at 5 o'clock. Bill Kroski Merritt, buy or sell?
Oh, I'm buying it. It is the richest stock that Washington has right now, maybe on this football team, in terms of like young offensive players, not named Jaden Daniels. Like, he is the guy. I think we had this conversation last week, myself and Grant. He does everything well. He's the home run hitter. I still would be interested, though, in bringing in competition and somebody to pair with him in tandem. The biggest thing for him that I want to see improve, pass blocking, obviously, protect the football. He's got to get a little stronger for me as well. I feel like he's a guy that could definitely benefit from a year, a full offseason in an NFL strength and conditioning program. But Bill's got it, man. I love everything about him.
I think I'm going to sell this.
Huh.
And it's not because I don't like Bill. I like him a lot. I think we do this with running backs sometimes. Mm-hmm. We put Darius Geis in the Hall of Fame because he had a good game against Carolina when both running backs ran for over 100 yards.
Yeah.
And he was good in the preseason one time. We put the cart before the horse on these type dudes, right? And I like Bill. He's the best guy out of that backfield with the football in his hands.
Right.
Okay? They don't throw him any passes at any point in time. They don't seem interested in doing that. He's improved in pass pro, but it took Chris Rodriguez basically puking before the game for them to go, fine, we'll give you double-digit carries.
Yeah.
This isn't my evaluation of Bill. It's theirs. I keep coming back to this. I understand you don't want to give him 20 carries a game. He didn't play football but for one game last year because of an eligibility thing, which is stupid. Good job, NCAA. But it just seems like they didn't want to do this on a regular basis, right? And I don't know why. He was good. He's good with the ball in his hands. They don't trust him necessarily. Maybe some of the advanced passing game stuff. You got Ed McNichols do that. Okay, fine. Well, where was he on first and second down? If Chris Rodriguez was available, he's only getting four touches, not getting in a rhythm. That's my frustration. So I'm selling, not because I don't believe in the player. I do. Every time he's got something on his plate, he's eating it. Let's put more on the plate. That's where I'm at.
Moving to the interior, let's go with Johnny Newton, the defensive tackle out of Illinois.
I'm selling this one. Again, he played really well, it seemed to me, the other day. Had his counting stats finally happen against Dallas. But it's the same deal where you're getting out-snapped by Sheldon Day. You're getting out-snapped by Eddie Goldman. You're getting out-snapped by Preston Smith. I know it's not the same position, but it's indicative. They didn't believe in him to play him more regularly. I think maybe at some point, if he – you mentioned this with Josh Connerly, Linnell, if he gets a little bit more stout on the bottom half, took us in on down to maybe be more solid in the run game, but that's not who he is. He is a disruptive, penetrating, bothering – you know, in the mold of a John Randall defensive tackle than he is necessarily a smart car type guy that's, you know, not moving anywhere at any point in time. I think there's value in that. That's not the paradigm they went with this offseason, so we became kind of an afterthought after they used a second-round pick on him, basically saying we were lucky to get him, it was only because of a foot injury, otherwise he's a first-rounder. I never really believed in the player, to be honest with you. I know it sounds really harsh. I just kind of never saw it. I've never really understood the infatuation and the hype. I look like a jackass the other day when he's knifing.
Well, I don't think he did.
Knocking people down. And look, he looked awesome. Yeah. And you're going, okay, well, could we do that, I don't know, two other times over the course of a season? But I'm selling here because I think he's at his high point now. I don't think we see what we just saw again.
I'm going to sell as well. Bear with me on the analogy. You have kids. When your child took their first steps, you didn't assume that all of a sudden, like, you were breeding the next great, like, shortstop in Major League Baseball. It was just a part of the process. You're a human. You learn how to walk. That's how I feel about Jazon Newton and what he did on Netflix versus the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, he got a couple of sacks. I'm pulling up the number here. The average time to sack Danny Rudy was, I think it was like 5.2 seconds. So he was the beneficiary of a bunch of coverage sacks. I do not buy any stock into what he did. He would be somebody that would be on the fringe of being cut next year. If I'm being honest, like, I don't know his value. And everyone wants to say he's this great situational pass rusher. Well, why aren't they using him more in situational pass rush spots? I don't get the hype with Jazon Newton. And it's crazy because Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, I think the double foot surgery zapped all the juice away from him. And, like, he's no longer going to be able to be a good football player. So it's tough. I feel for him, but selling.
A pair of Washington cornerbacks. We will start with the youngest one, which will be Trey Amos. Buy or sell?
I'm buying low. Here's the thing about Trey Amos, right? Looked good this year at times against mediocre wide receivers. We didn't see him a bunch because he ended up getting hurt. I still feel like I just don't know what I have there, right? Like, if you were asking me my comfort level, Danny, and going into next year, with Trey Amos and Mikey Samuels still as your outside corner duo, I would say, we can't do better. Can't do better than that. Like, that's not – I don't know, man. They're in between a rock and a hard place when it comes to that spot. Him getting hurt was one of the bigger developments of the year that we didn't really talk about enough. It stinks that you really don't know what you have in him. You're obviously going to rely on your – you know, what you saw in camp and so on and so forth. But I'm going to buy it, but I still don't know if I have a legitimate number one corner.
I'm buying. I think he's a dude.
Yeah.
And part of this is my own desperation to be right about something. And I fully acknowledge that. This is confirmation. But I see enough of those moments, enough of those flashes where, no, he's not the tiny, you know, super swivelly, explosive corner that's going to stay with people down the field tremendously well. What he is a big physical maul you, hands on you, kind of modern sort of, you know, I don't want to say Richard Sherman that to evoke that name,
easy,
but Legion of Boom style corner that's you'll notice who the coach happens to be, right?
He's the prototype.
To me, I look for that. I look for the bigger bodied, longer arm. Again, he's not winning as many races as some of the other dudes, but I feel like in this system, in this scheme, he could be that guy. If they go get Al Harris, the guy that he's the interception whisperer, wherever he shows up, they lead the league in picks. He could be a dude that we're now talking about as having that leap, that kind of renaissance.
Yeah.
I'm a believer in Trey Amos. I think he's just scratching the surface here. I think he could be really, really good. So normally when you go, I can't believe he's available in the second round, they got a steal, I roll my eyes with this organization.
Yeah.
This time I actually buy that.
Huh.
And I know maybe that's fool's gold and I'm talking myself into something, but I'm a believer in Trey Amos.
And the last player would be the guy opposite of Trey Amos, Mikey Sainerskill, by herself.
So I thought I was going to be alone on this, and I can think I can predict where you're going to go.
Yeah.
I'm selling. This is the only guy that doesn't fit their athletic profile.
Yeah.
Okay? If you go back and look at their the compilation of raw athletic scores, the RAS scores, Washington has a type. And that, by the way, I don't mind that.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. They want captains and guys that are off the charts in these RAS scores. Sanders still was not. He's the guy that's going to be the mayor of any city that he's in. Great dude, tough as nails, good competitor. I think this is it. And I'm okay with that. But
yeah.
If we're talking about buying stock,
right.
I don't see a lot of upside here. I think he is what he is. We're kind of a slot, not really. Kind of an outside, fine. But on a good defense, you could have the versatility of, let's say for the sake of argument, this guy that he's covering is going in motion. Now they're in a stack, kind of in the slot.
Right.
You're not panicking because he's in there. He's not going to do the job great in there, but you don't have to totally adjust everything and have a complicated call to compensate for it. I think he's solid. I think he's fine. I think I like him more than you do. When I'll tag you in here in a second. But I'm not buying that there's a ton of upside, and that's what kind of this buyer sell situation is. I'm selling. I like Mikey Sanders still, but I think this is kind of it.
You ready? I'm going to make my decision right here on the spot because I've been thinking about it ever since. I saw the rundown earlier. I've been looking at it since last night. This is the one that I'm torn on, Danny. His ball skills, you can't coach that. Like, that is an innate ability that he has to play the ball in the air really well. He does it better than any DB that Washington has right now. But like you said, he's kind of a slot, but he's not. He's kind of an outside guy, but he's not. I think he lacks the physical tools from both a speed standpoint and a height standpoint, like length and all that, to be a starting NFL corner. Like, I genuinely have my questions about that. But I will say this, every corner, and you know this, Danny, as well as anybody, every corner looks better when they have to cover for a shorter period of time. If we could ever get a pass rush, he's the guy that could potentially have the 6-7 interception year. I just don't know if this has been like 5 times on the show.
People don't realize how
much I'm walking right into
people. I'm telling you, having kids has made me – I'm a head on a swivel all the time. If you can't see it, I'm on the YouTube stream.
Yeah.
Linnell, speaking normally, as people do, he's like, maybe he'll have 6-7 interception. And as soon as I hear that 6-7, I got to do the bit with my hands because I have children.
But to wrap this up here, I just don't know if he has the physical tools to be a starting corner in this league. I think if he's your first corner off the bench, you're in really good shape. Like, tremendous shape. That's how I feel about him.
About what you're selling there.
Yeah.
Darius, appreciate you, dude. That was a good job of buy or sell talking.
That was awesome.
Stonks here with the young Washington 53. A major phenomenon just wrapped up. One of the cultural touchstones, one of the seminal shows that I really believe shot a streaming platform to the front of the line, to the top of the table, to be essential for all of our entertainment hubs. Kind of the first-stop shop, the first place we go now when talking about new programs, movies, and otherwise. I really think this show, not I would say put these guys on the map. They were already on the map, very much so. But a show with no promotion and no buzz turned into a global phenomenon. I've got some of the numbers for you. We'll tell you about what it is. It just wrapped up. I'll give you some of my thoughts on that, and we'll ask you guys, what else is kind of close to this in terms of cultural phenomenon from one of the great shows of all time? It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan Live from Caddies on Cordell. Linnell filling in for GP. One of the great shows ever wrapped up here within the last couple days. We'll talk about it next.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to Caddies on Cordell. Grant and Danny hanging out with you. No GP, but yes, Linnell. If you're on the YouTube stream, you can say hi, drop us a comment, and say hello. You can check out the show always on the old Odyssey app as well. Points in and around D.C., Maryland, Richmond, Virginia, anywhere you find us, we are happy to hang out with you. Appreciate you guys making the show part of your day. So everybody knows I'm a giant dork, Linnell. I used to have to hide all this stuff, but now I get a Marvel movie every 4 months.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could sit there and have conversations about this version of Batman versus the other. I used to have to kind of hide all this stuff. Now we're out in the mainstream. We're open, and it's fine as a giant dork. But I'm a huge Stranger Things fan. And I'll just briefly tell you this. Here's what happened. The show wrapped New Year's Eve, the final episode, kind of a you know, movie-style thing released. They split up their final season into three installments, four episodes a few days later, three episodes a few days later, then the final one to kind of give people a chance to binge, catch up, build a little anticipation and hype. And it ends. A show that's that big and that massive, and I got some numbers I'll give you guys here in a second, is always going to have the... In our world now, this sucks, people, you can't talk to them.
Right.
You don't like anything, and that's fine. You're allowed to not like it. You're also allowed to have legitimate criticisms about things. I certainly do, about, you know, art and things that have been produced, shows, games, color commentators, play-by-play guys, coaching calls, etc. We do that, and we have conversations about it. That's great. But for the everything sucks people, okay, fine. Next. This final episode... and I'm trying not to spoil anything. If folks haven't watched it yet, you should. The show is incredible, especially if you are of a certain age. The references, it is a house built on nostalgia of great art projects and great movies, shows, books, and everything from the 80s and early 90s. So it would mean, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, it would mean nothing to you.
Right.
You don't care about Stand By Me. You don't care about Stephen King's Firestarter. You don't care about Nightmare on Elm Street or any of these other campy, hokey, kind of cheesy E.T. or whatever kind of projects and things that we watched and consumed that brought us to this age, right? Where now everybody's cynical, everybody's jaded, everybody's this, that, and the other. And a show will never make everyone happy. There's no good way to wrap stuff up unless everybody dies, like at the end of Breaking Bad or something like that, right? So the way the show ends... You get your usual group of people that say everything sucks. Put them aside. You're never talking to them. But the people that didn't like the way this show wrapped up, my response, and I tweeted a bunch about this at Funny Danny, is the show wrapped up in the way that it always was. This is, as I said, a pyramid built on the type of entertainment that these guys, the Duffer Brothers, created from the things that they grew up watching. It's the never-ending story. It's the good guy winning. It's the you know, He-Man, Masters of the Universe. It's the, you know, the giant epilogue of Lord of the Rings. It's all this stuff. We all watched it and consumed it, and then that's how the show went, and you can't believe it. So first I'll tag you in. Is any of this making sense to you? You're just sitting there staring at me like I'm a crazy person.
I get it from the terms of, like, this is very important to folks. Except for me.
And you never watch the show, right?
Never,
you didn't care.
But I'm weird. Like, I just consume sports 24/7.
Yeah,
I have no life. Sports and stand-ups is what I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I can relate in terms of, like, the give-a-damn level is very high to where you're describing it as what it is, a now cultural phenomenon. Like, that's kind of...
That's the level.
That's
because that's what it is. So there have been a couple shows, and we'll get into that here in a second. But at first, a couple of numbers for you. Overall, and again, some of these numbers are still coming in, so it's still pretty new in terms of you know, downloads, views, and it's not conducted the same way that regular ratings are.
Right.
But it is a streaming service. It's pretty ubiquitous. Almost everybody has Netflix. But you're talking over 1.2 billion views for the show.
Wow.
Worldwide. Okay? Again, but that could be as much as I watched for 5 minutes and said, it's not for me, and leave.
But it's still 1.2 billion.
But still, it's something. 1.2 billion is a pretty big number. 60 million people watched the season 5 premiere within the first 5 days. You follow that? So again, normal TV ratings, if 80 million people are watching the Super Bowl. That's usually live within a handful of minutes of DVR. Maybe people are a moment behind or something with commercials. But they're able to kind of count that. So a streaming service is different. It premieres at a certain time, and the beauty of it is you don't have to start it at 5. You can start it at 7 or 6:15 or whatever. That first set, 60 million people, give or take, watched within the first 5 days. 35 million people watched on Christmas, according to some of the numbers that I saw. 35 million people took a break from the great slate of football games, having Christmas dinner with their family or opening presents, whatever they're doing that evening, to watch the second part of the finale, of the final season of Stranger Things. Don't have numbers for the finale just yet. It was only aired on New Year's Eve. But to tell you that it's a cultural phenomenon understates it.
No, 100%.
Right? This many people are going to have an opinion on that. And it's remarkable that a show that came out of nowhere, there was no promotion for it. There was no big push. There was no – Netflix went ultimate guerrilla marketing style on the – now, once it became the massive success it was, they pushed it. Yeah. I mean, the same way with Squid Game. Nobody was talking about Squid Game until a critical mass of people saw it, and they were going, dude, this is different.
You've got to watch it,
right? The you've got to watch it thing that Netflix has mastered.
Yes.
You know, you think of other epic big shows – I'm a dork. I'll carry this for us, buddy. I got you. On Amazon Prime, Fallout. On Amazon Prime, the Lord of the Rings television show. Okay, they promoted these things endlessly, wanting to get you to watch them. And I get that they should, but the sweet spot, the golden goose or the arrow that pierces the heart, is that show that gets that word of mouth where you don't have to. And Netflix has then kind of gone and doubled down, and everything Stranger Things, all the characters are now in commercials for like AT&T, or they're doing like a Capital One card ad with Alec Baldwin or something like that to get themselves some more Skrilla, and that's fine. But this show was one of the ultimate word of mouth buzz phenomenon. It's kind of little engine that could, and the fact that it got to this global phenomenon is incredible. So I ask you this, just if you've seen it, no spoilers, 800-636-1067, what'd you think of it? What'd you think of the ending? Because, again, I'm not throwing this out there lightly. I wouldn't normally go, hey, I watched the end of one of my favorite shows, The Shield. What'd you think of The Shield finale? It's still too narrow of a population.
Right.
60 million people.
The numbers are the numbers.
Watch this damn thing.
I mean.
Right?
That's incredible.
I would challenge anybody to say that you don't know anybody that was all in.
Oh, exactly.
You see what I'm saying? Like, nobody's got a circle big enough to find someone, or small enough, rather, to find someone that's like, yeah, I didn't care. Maybe if you're at the old folks' home and, TV's not allowed after a certain time, maybe nobody watched. But even then, someone's probably sneaking on their phone. Someone's talking about Eleven and Dr. Brenner and Papa, the whole nine yards. 800-636-1067. Give me your thoughts on the finale. And then the second part of the conversation I want to have, and again, I know this is, we're fighting uphill in the headwind here for you. You're climbing a mountain, stuck in molasses.
You hear me breathing hard?
This is not your thing. But give me another show or two.
And I've been thinking about this.
That kind of got to this level of...
Does it have to fit the criteria of no promotion? Because I think that's the unique part about this is, like you're saying, it kind of came out of nowhere. And how long has the show been going for, Danny?
So a dozen years or so. I don't actually have the first date, but it wasn't...
Is it a Netflix original?
Yes. So they didn't do 12 seasons. It's only 5 seasons.
Okay, but they spaced them out. Yeah.
It blows up, and all these kid actors are now in demand. I mean, David Harbour was a kind of a jobbing actor. He's the an older grown-up man on the show, plays the police chief. He's been around. You've seen him in some stuff.
Right.
And Winona Ryder stars in the show. All of a sudden, everybody that hadn't been working is now in demand. They can't get everyone back together. Millie Bobby Brown, who's one of the main stars of the show, she now is in every movie that you can find, has multiple series that she's carrying herself. The Finn Wolfhard, who was the actor that plays Mike on the show, is in both It movies, and it's part of that cast that has been in a dozen different things, the new Ghostbusters franchise as well. So all these kids are now megastars.
Good problem, man.
Because of this, so it was hard to actually get everybody back together to start filming some stuff, but they're able to do it and pull it off.
The more and more I think, it's hard to find a comp. So I started thinking, well, what shows out there bring everyone together and kind of have come out of nowhere? There's another one that Netflix has that I also have not watched. and this one you're going to be very disappointed in. I heard the same buzz, and as someone that doesn't watch these type of TV shows, you hear it or in a mouth. I'll walk into the studio. That's what you guys are talking about. I'll be out at a bar. That's what people are talking about. Did Breaking Bad have this type of pull on people in terms of, like, just how big it ultimately grew?
It's a great question. So
my, I haven't seen. I've seen now, like, two or three episodes.
I know. My answer is no, and I'm not talking about the quality of the show.
Okay.
Breaking Bad is one of the greatest shows of all time, full stop. It is incredible. From start to finish, as close to a masterpiece as you'll ever find. Really, by virtue of how excellent Bryan Cranston is.
Yeah, and that's the bald guy.
Yeah, he's the lead. I mean, the guy that we all knew was Tim Watley, and then the dad from Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah.
Goes to this and turns in one of the great performances ever. His incredibleness, his gravity throughout the show is what makes it. I mean, the writing's incredible, the acting's incredible, the script, the show. I mean, everything about it is so good. It is as close to a masterpiece as I think you're going to find, right? It didn't do this.
As far as from numbers standpoint.
Right.
Yeah.
Again, it always did very well. And
right.
Again, people are going to hear it and go, it's better. That's not what I'm saying. Breaking Bad stands alone as in terms of, again, the quality of it. And it's certainly buzzworthy,
right?
Because that Sunday night when it airs on AMC.
Everyone's there.
It's... You know, the next day, could you believe? Yeah. No, don't tell me. I haven't watched it yet. I mean, that level of, can you believe what Walt did? Can you believe what Hank did? Can you believe what Jesse did? A Skyler that, you know what? So good. But I don't think it ever did this. There have only been a couple of shows in my lifetime, I think, that would kind of equal this. But I'm curious to see what people say. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Twofold for you. All right? One, what'd you think of the Stranger Things ending? How do you feel about how we ended up? You feel good, bad, and different? You mad at me for liking it? You with the everything sucks people? That's totally fine. Tell me why. Tell me why. And the second part, give me another show, if you feel up to it, that got close to this stratosphere, that got close to this, everything stops, everybody pays attention, and it's all we can think about or talk about. It's so buzzworthy. There are only a couple that come to mind, but I want to see what you guys think as well. 800-636-1067. Linnell, Danny here, Grant and Danny, live from Caddy's on Cordell in Bethesda.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We'll be joined by Ed Kratz from Sports Illustrated to scout the opponent at 6 o'clock, give you our predictions, some keys, what's on the line, just kind of go through this weekend tilt against Philadelphia for the Local 53. Welcome back to the show. It's Grant Danny here on the fan. Linnell sitting in for GP. Hope he gets better soon. We are at Caddy's on Cordell. Voted best bar/restaurant to watch a game by Bethesda Magazine a couple years running. I can attest to that. I've been here many a time. I watch Alex Ovechkin in a game break the goal scoring record right over there at this sports bar. So I love this place. They treat us so well, as always. Stop on by. Well worth your time and hard-earned cash. Topic of the moment, bit off the beaten path here, but such a cultural phenomenon. Excuse me. Stranger Things just wrapped up. One of the great shows of all time. There were certainly some moments and things that I kind of rolled my eyes at, even with the understanding that there's more leeway there, because the whole point is it's this 80s nostalgia show. I thought it got too busy at times. I thought they weren't able to give every character something productive to do long enough. They kept introducing things and making it harder to tie stuff together. The ending, for a lot of people, was dissatisfying. They thought maybe the big bad should have done this or that. And, you know, it's sort of a cliched reveal. Again, not spoiling anything. And that's kind of the point to me, though, is this was, a pyramid of 80s and early 90s nostalgia. And sure enough, that's how the show finished off. And that's kind of what we're looking at here. But 800-636-1067. So I liked it a lot. I want to see what people think. So the question is twofold. What did you think of the ending? Mm-hmm. And give me another show that rivals the massive scale and interest level and buzz that this show, Stranger Things, had. I want to start with Steve in Maryland, who has one of my answers, I think, by the way. Steve, what's up, bud? Good afternoon. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, fellas. Now, before I get to my point, Danny, you told me you got a show coming up in Baltimore.
That's right.
I couldn't find what's the quote?
Oh, let's throw Steve back on hold. He's breaking up. I want to hear from Steve because he was going to ask me something personal about myself.
I'm talking about myself.
That's going to happen. Let's get a good connection for Steve. Let's go to Jacob in Upper Marlboro. Line one. What'd you think of the ending of Stranger Things? And give me another show that's kind of as buzzworthy.
What's up, Jacob?
Hey, as a kid from the 80s and a teenager in the 90s, the show was great. They ended it perfectly, if you ask me, from the storytelling, the long epilogue, trying to wrap up as many leave no questions unanswered, so I wouldn't have changed. It was great, even to the point where we timed it with my family on New Year's Eve. We hit start, so it ended right as New Year's. So that's how we rang in 2026.
Oh, well
so
done.
That's just how much we feel. And the only thing I can think that came close in regards to the popularity and stuff was Lost on ABC back in the day.
There you go. That's one of mine. Jake, appreciate you, dude. You're breaking up as well a little bit. 100%. Lost now, the way it ended, I think bothered a lot of people, but that's not the point. The buzz that Lost had, now this is network TV, so it's not apples to apples. This is kind of pre-ubiquitous streaming, yep, where you still only had a couple outlets to get your prestige TV shows. There had been some, to be sure, but each week, the amount of blog space, internet space, social media space, discussions.
For sure.
Talking about Lost. I mean, the idea now that listen to the companion podcast is that's not crazy to anybody. That's the first time where you had to do that to figure out what the hell we're talking about. Like, why is there a polar bear all of a sudden? And they'll never pay that off, by the way. They never paid off the fact that there was a polar bear. Anyway, Lost is one of those that had that kind of buzz. I don't think it did the numbies that Stranger Things did, but that's one of the nominees.
Yeah, I was thinking of, like, Power, the 50 Cent series that has kind of been a thing. I don't know if people are super into that. The thing about these shows, what I would say, it brings people together from all walks of life. Because the people that are talking about Stranger Things, I would have never would have thought would be into something like Stranger Things. The people that are watching Power would never thought you'd be into something like Power. So it's unique for that matter. I am just, for whatever reason, I have this problem where I fall asleep watching everything.
Oh.
That is why I can't do shows. Darius can attest to this. He's been to one movie with me. We'll probably never go to another one again.
I was going
to
say, how does Darius know? Is he just hanging out at your house?
I started howling in the movie theater.
Is he just under the same blanket on the couch just watching shows together?
Just having a time of it. But, it's the reason I don't go to movies. It's the reason I don't watch TV shows. I would just fall asleep and not be able to tell you about it.
All right, let's go back to line two. Steve in Maryland. Steve, what you think of the finale and give me the show.
Well, first, I haven't watched the show entirely yet. I actually just started season one, so I am going to give that answer to you when I'm finished.
Oh, I like it. Good.
My show, and don't hang up when I say it because I still got a question to ask you. My show was The Chappelle Show.
That's it.
The Chappelle Show, that's the one. All likes of people together, especially after the first season, especially after the first show.
Please don't quote any of it right now.
Yeah, right.
But yes, that is the answer.
That literally brought like white people, black people, Chinese people, like
very
whoever
true.
Together, and everybody enjoyed that show. But Danny, you're in Baltimore. What's the show called? Because I'm trying to find it and I'm trying to buy tickets.
Oh, I actually got to hit up the booker. I don't have the details yet. He's just asking me if I was available. I said yes, and I don't have any info as to yet. So I will certainly post about that when I know, but I appreciate your interest, Steve. Thank you. There he goes. That is Steve.
There we go.
That's my answer, by the way.
Yeah.
That's the number one. There are other shows that have had, that have been incredible, etc., and we'll get to some of them. But that was my one seed. It went from, remember the guy from the pot movie? Now, comics knew him, and all of us knew that he was a master, that he was brilliant. His special from D.C., how many years ago, where he's talking about the drug-dealing baby. The funniest thing.
The best ever.
I mean, all-timer. He's a superstar, and everyone knew that. But for the, to the main public, it's like, oh, okay, I've seen the Ben Stiller show. I've seen Kids in the Hall. I've done SNL, Mad TV. What's so great about this? Set the world on fire.
Yeah.
The Chappelle Show.
For sure.
Unbelievable. Great poll. That was one of mine. See what else you guys have in this regard. Let's go to line three, Dave in Raleigh. Dave, what's up, bud?
What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you guys doing tonight?
Good pal. Man.
I actually have two shows. One that ended that I remember everybody being really riled up about, myself included, I was angry about it, was Sopranos. The way Sopranos ended, which is the black screen, it was kind of up to your viewer's interpretation. I know that people were angry about that for a while. And the second show that I had to actually watch, that was must-watch for me, was The Wire. I'm going to work the next day, and unless you watched The Wire the night before, you know what everybody was talking about, man. You had to see what Omar was doing and what was happening.
Omar coming.
Two shows that stand out for me.
Both of my top ten. The Wire is my favorite show of all time. I don't know that – I mean, The Sopranos buzz, I think, especially with the ending, and to me the giant cop-out of not actually making a decision or choice, I found so irritating and condescending. From David Chase and company, but I digress there. That, to me, is on the list with Game of Thrones in terms of the buzz.
That's another one,
I don't think The Wire ever got that buzz, though. And part of the point was that so many people are going, oh, my God, this show is so great. Please watch it. It was limited because it was before HBO was on, you know, it was still like $16 a month to pay for it or whatever for a lot of cable. Some people did it. Some people didn't. It never caught mainstream like it should have. And it's one of the great programs ever. Again, it's my favorite show of all time. But it wasn't until sort of times changed and everybody had HBO, even for the premium subscription, where you got Game of Thrones, where everybody's buzzing, everyone's talking about it.
How big of an impact and influence do you think social media has had on, like, the conversation around Stranger Things and how people are viewing it? Because if The Wire comes out during this era,
I think it's exactly right.
It probably is the biggest, you know,
it does way better.
Is the biggest thing ever.
Right? It does way better. I 100% agree with that. Good conversation. Thank you for indulging me, Linnell.
Of course.
I know that was
Call it a uphill climb? I'm...
Yeah, Linnell's just sort of sitting there watching. That all sounds good. Can we do some football again? appreciate you guys indulging me on that. Ed Kratz from SI will scout the opponent here next. We've got players to lock in on, guys with something to play for, things we're looking for in this Sunday tilt for the final game of Washington seasons. Grant and Danny live from Caddies on Cordell. Linnell in for GP. One segment with you guys here next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.